Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Hey, and welcome to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today for Mark, who is filling, probably still eating leftover turkey today. And I guess I should say that today's show is brought to you by Espresso Coffee to help you wake up from that tryptophan food coma from yesterday. So jumping right into it, though, you know, whenever Mark's not in and I'm filling for Mark, I enjoy having and hosting what I've dubbed the Reardonless Roundtable, because it is without Mark Reardon. So joining us today is St. Louis County Councilman Tim Fitch. Chief, thanks for spending your Thanksgiving holiday with us.
Thank you, Brad, for the invitation.
It's great to see you again. And also good friend Mark Moreland, local plaintiff's attorney, immediate past president of the Missouri Association of Trial Attorneys. And wait, Mark, just because it's you and I drafted a disclaimer. And the disclaimer is, The opinions expressed by Mark Moreland today are his own and do not necessarily reflect those of the Missouri Association of Trial Attorneys.
Thank you very much. But on behalf of the Missouri Association of Trial Attorneys, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving. After that, it's all me now.
That's all you. Right. But I thought, I just felt the need, you know, to give a disclaimer.
Absolutely. I on behalf of 1,300 members, I'm sure they're glad that you did.
Right. Well, you know, I was a member of MATA for one brief moment, and then I sobered up, and and I actually went over to the defense side. But for about 2 years, I was a MATA member, and
I have an extra white hat in the car, so if you need it, just let me know.
There's another joke there, but I won't make it about people wearing white hats.
And we're missing Jane Duker.
We
today.
Are missing, and
it's
Chief,
her birthday.
You told me it was her birthday today.
It is. Happy birthday, Jane. I'm sure you're not out there listening. You're probably still laid up from your big turkey dinner from yesterday, but a very happy birthday to Jane Duker.
Happy birthday, Jane. And I'm going to try not to take this personally, but the last two times I've been in for Mark on a Friday, she hasn't been here. So I don't know if she's trying to tell me something, which, you know, I get people trying to tell me things all the time, particularly where to go. So I'm not necessarily opposed to that.
It is possible. Wasn't it her birthday a couple months ago when she couldn't make it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think that was it.
That's what we needed, a third lawyer on the panel.
It'll be where you can't swing a dead cat in
Help
here.
Me, public. I'm outnumbered today, surrounded by lawyers on both sides.
That's all right. You know what? I'm too far away to grab your wallet, Chief, so
there
you're safe. You're absolutely safe today. You know, there's a lot of topics and stories to go over today, and I got to tell you, the one that is nearest and dearest to my heart, I've been following this case since day one, and that is St. Louis settles with the Rams and the NFL, $790 million. I've got a lot of strong opinions on this, but Mark, what did you think about this settlement? What were your thoughts on the litigation itself? Where do we go from here?
So I'm absolutely delighted with the settlement. I think any time that you can mediate a case and walk out the door with $790 million, you've done a good job. So perhaps when you see a lawyer on either side of you this weekend, you ought to thank them for their skill and hard work. Keep in mind the suit that was filed by Oakland actually got dismissed So I think $790 million was an excellent settlement. My hope and prayer is that we can use that money to benefit the county, the city, and the sports authority, and use it wisely.
Now, one of the plaintiffs in that lawsuit was St. Louis County. So, Councilman Fitch, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I first have a lawyer question for the two of you. Is that $790 million, do the lawyer fees come out of that?
Yes, they do. And in fact, out of that $790, I think $257 million goes to the attorneys because they took it on a 35% contingency fee, and about $513 million will be split between, and that's the mechanism that I don't know, but that remaining $513 million would be split between the three primary plaintiffs, St. Louis City, St. Louis County, and the Convention Center Bureau.
And I don't know that they have spending authority, the Convention Center, without the city and the county. So I have to assume that it sounds like the county and the city would split that $500-plus million, however. But I will tell you this. We've been asking on the council for some time now, most recently as last Tuesday, hey, county executive, we'd like to sit down with you and our legal staff and talk about this. We would like to know where this case is going. Give us an update. And he basically said, nope, can't talk about it. Only I get to know about it.
That's outrageous. So the St. Louis County executive, Sam Page, refused to brief the county council on the status of the litigation.
That's right. And then he's already talking about where he thinks some of the uses of the money should go. So I want to assure the county residents, the county executive can't spend a penny of your tax dollars without the county council's approval. We're the legislative branch. We're the only ones that can appropriate money. Mm-hmm. So if you hear him talking about how he would like to spend it, it might have been something he dreamt about last night. He has no spending authority.
I still can't get over the fact that the legislative body for St. Louis County has received no information from the county executive.
This is not unusual. We've even said let's go into closed session where we're not in public and let's talk about legal matters. It's one of the reasons you can close a meeting. Nope. Can't do it. Won't talk about it.
Can't do it. Well, interestingly enough, and you know, Chief, I sent you a copy of it. I've filed a Freedom of Information Act request, and we'll get into this a little bit later, asking about all of the records regarding Faisal Khan, County Health Director, and have received no response. I sent my second letter last week for my Sunshine Law request for documents. So you're not the only one that's getting the mushroom treatment here. I mean, I'm getting nothing but crickets from St. Louis County government on my request for records. And so I'm assuming I'm going to have to file suit over that.
That would be my guess.
But that's probably what's going to happen. But Mark, from a litigation standpoint, and this is the part where I've been asked this question hundreds of times over the past couple of years, but people don't understand that when you get to something like a mediation that happens, like we saw with the Rams and St. Louis on Tuesday, I believe, all of those pretrial jousting that's been going on for the past 4 years, that's what sets the stage to allow the mediation to move forward, doesn't it?
Correct. Well, what happens is by that time, both parties should have all of the information available to them that they suspect will come out at trial. And they use that information to put together their case. Sometimes there's a brief presentation for the mediator as you open the proceeding to lay out your case, both in terms of liability, which is, are the Rams responsible, and damages, if they are, how much are we entitled to because of their wrongdoing. And then literally the parties get in two separate rooms, and the mediator often travels back and forth between the parties throughout the course of the day and the evening, trying to broker a settlement that reasonably satisfies both parties. And I'm assuming that that's what happened on Tuesday. And I'm assuming that the NFL did not want certain things to become public as they would have at trial. I can imagine the email chains that went back and forth that would have been fascinating.
Especially Robert Kraft, because, you know, he had a little problem with a massage parlor, and we would have maybe seen some texts or emails on that.
Correct. It could have been that. Or as I suspect, it could have been the fact that they had planned for a long time to move the Rams back to Los Angeles. That's where they wanted them to be in the first place. move San Diego, and that what you saw was the charade making St. Louis go through the kabuki dance to try to keep a team that they were never going to let us keep in the first place.
Right.
And that would have angered folks, outraged folks, and ultimately that's not what the NFL wanted to see here. And you know what? When you got 30 billionaires, they can throw $790 million together and get out of anything.
And well, that's true. But you've kind of zeroed in on the part that gives me heartburn. And Chief Fitch, I know that you you are not in the decision making loop on to settle a case. I just want to make sure that folks hear that before I go off on a rant.
No, we were not.
You were not in a zero. You were had a zero input on the decision making process. But when you've got identifiable damages of at least $1 billion, you've been able to prove a chain of fraud, which would allow you to get punitive damages. And when you can have a defendant like the NFL ownership and Stan Kroenke in a position where they desperately do not want their emails released, they're desperate to hide their financial information from the public. When you put all those things together, I thought that the settlement of $790 billion was about half of what it should have been. Because when you got that, everything with the stars were aligned to go to a St. Louis jury to determine the damages, and they settle for less than their actual damages. I was just stunned by that, and I'm sorry to say $790 million isn't enough money, but at this point, I'm disappointed in the settlement. Chief, your reaction?
I absolutely agree with that. We really thought, based on the little that we knew from the media, that it would be a lot more than that. I was a little surprised that they settled that quickly. However, when you get into the politics of this, where's there's politics involved here, is Sam Page desperately needs a win right now. He's down in the polls big time. He wants to be able to jump up and down and say, look what I did, look what I brought to St. Louis County.
Mm-hmm.
And he desperately wants to do that. He'll take all the credit for it, even though the lawsuit was started under Steve Stenger. Sam Page had nothing to do with it as the chair of the county council or as a councilman.
Right.
He just inherited this from the Stenger administration, this lawsuit. So, but he'll take as much credit as he can, and I think that him and Tashar got together and said, let's just get this thing behind us. Let's take this money and run with it.
Well, Mark, from an attorney's perspective, and obviously there are lots of things we don't know being on the outside, but just strategically, don't you see this? If you were a plaintiff's attorney on this case and you had all of the stars aligned, the jurisdiction, the venue, the fraud claims proven, the destruction of the arbitration clause, you had all of those pretrial maneuverings 100% in your favor, and you had a defendant that was desperate not to release financials, not to release emails to the public, isn't that the time that you push?
Well, I don't think that you can call $790 million not pushing. It's it's not a nuisance value settlement at $790 million.
Well, that's true.
And the question that any plaintiff has to ask themselves is, when that money is on the table, do you really choose to walk away, and do you go to trial? Because trials are uncertain, outcomes are uncertain. I've won one recently that I thought I should have lost. I've lost some that I thought I should have won. Trials are uncertain. Appeals are uncertain. There's time value over money. Do you want to wait 3 years for another X amount of dollars? So I can't fault the group from accepting $790 million. That being said, you also have the fact that she had some pretty good attorneys who were making judgments in that room. And I don't necessarily accept that, Tashara and Sam, they all get together and they say, let's get a political win and get out of here.
Oh, no, that's exactly what happened, Mark.
It's a bigger, if that were true, Brad, it's a bigger political win in January to have $1.2 billion judgment and all the salacious stuff out, right? I mean, if that were a political decision, it was a poor one. It may have been saying $790 million is a lot of money. It's $790 million more than zero, and zero is always a chance.
Well, let's face it. Stan Kroenke and the NFL can Venmo $790 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's beer money.
Yeah.
I mean,
I have an idea for them, right? I think we should do a pay-per-view with all the NFL owners in the room trying to decide who pays what. Because there's nothing better
pay-per-view
than a bunch of 70-year-old billionaires trying to figure out who's going to spend the money that they never needed in the first place. I think that would just be a great way to pay for it. And it's a win-win. We get to see them argue with one another.
Well, and I do go back to the political piece of this. Sam Page has got a primary coming up in August. Nobody's announced. However, there's at least one candidate who's going to be a very formidable candidate, from what I understand, that's going to announce very soon, probably as soon as January. He needs a win.
Well, he does. And I know, Chief Fitch, you've said here that you had zero input. And so I'm not asking you in an official capacity here, but for whatever amount of money is allocated to St. Louis County, how would you personally like to see that money spent?
One of the priorities that I believe we need to have is what you've heard Council Chair Rita Days talking about, and that's at North County Recreational Complex. This is something the community was promised. North County desperately needs some reinvestment. This is a prime opportunity to be able to do something like that with money that was unexpected, and take that, build that, and then we'll see what we need to do with the rest. There's plenty of need for it. It's not going to be hard to spend that amount of money.
No, it's never hard to spend the money. But at that point, if that North County project gets the green light, would that then allow the funds to move forward for the renovation of the dome downtown?
Well, we'd have to see what would be needed there. Do we really want to renovate the dome, or do we need to knock it down? You know, it's in pretty bad shape. So we'll have to see how that goes. Are we ever going to use it again for – right now we're using it for concert venues. That's not what it was designed for.
No.
We're not going to get another football team. We're not going to spend the money we need on that dome to get another football team. So let's talk about, do we really need it?
Well, for the past 4 years, I've been fond of saying that Stan Kroenke is to lying like Wisconsin is to cheese. And I think we've got 790 million reasons now to validate that particular opinion. They wouldn't have paid that money but for the fact that those allegations have been, at least in my mind, they've been substantiated. The lies, the deceit, and the fraud have been substantiated. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been a settlement. Now, this settlement has to be public because of the government entities that are involved on the plaintiff's side, correct?
Yes. Maybe all the details will be kept quiet, but the dollar amount is public.
Dollar amount is public. So we've already seen the actual settlement agreement, at least the perfunctory settlement agreement, all of the whereas clauses. But I would like to see the details. But again, chances are we will not. Brad Young sitting in today on the Mark Reardon Show on the Reardonless Roundtable. We've got a lot more topics to come up after the break. We're talking to Mark Moreland and County Councilman Tim Fitch. We'll be back right after this on 97.1. FM Talk.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young in this afternoon, and we're talking, of course, on the roundtable with County Councilman Tim Fitch and Attorney Mark Moreland. And you know, in the past week, we've seen two verdicts, different outcomes, but I think tied by a common thread, both in the Kyle Rittenhouse case and the three defendants in the Ahmaud Arbery case. Both of them, at least if simplistically, were decided based upon the strength of video evidence. So, Mark, I want to start with you. How important is video evidence when it comes to litigation today? And are we now setting an expectation for juries that if there's not video, it's going to be hard to either prosecute or defend a case if there's not video evidence, if a jury is expecting it?
Well, first, I hope we're not setting that precedent, because more times than not, there's not going to be video evidence
exactly
of what we want to see. And even if there is video evidence, there's going to be times where can we really believe our lying eyes, right? I mean, the video evidence won't have audio. There'll be things that have gone on before or after that should have an impact on the jury. So one of my concerns is that it becomes overarching in a trial when there's other evidence that would be equal to the task in determining a basic fact for the jury. So that would be a concern. That juries come to expect that, just like there's a concern that they come to expect DNA when that just may not always be available.
Right. And Chief Fitch, you come from the perspective of a police background. So did you see that as a common thread between these two cases? And how do you think this will impact juries in the future now that we have maybe this expectation of, you know, fantastic video evidence?
Well, as a law enforcement officer and looking at this, both of these cases from the outside, I really keyed in on the video evidence in both of these cases. And my conclusion before the jury came to the same conclusion was that Rittenhouse would be found not guilty based on video alone. And my conclusion was that the three individuals in Georgia would be found guilty based on the evidence alone. So there's absolutely a common thread. And I'm in the middle of right now, just spent all day writing an assessment report of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. They just had a video case where a sergeant was charged with kicking a suspect while during an arrest in September. He was just charged, and video in that case was a big part of why the Marion County prosecutors decided to charge. But I think Mark's exactly right. The jurors are going to expect this, to see this video, even if it doesn't exist, and so will prosecutors in the same case.
What I think was interesting is right between these two verdicts, because I think the Rittenhouse verdict came out a week ago today, and the Aubrey cases verdicts came out earlier this week. But right in the middle of those two monumentally important and closely watched verdicts was November 22nd, which was the anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And the most watched video clip of all time, I think, is the Zapruder film. And I think second is the Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction. But we'll put that aside for a second. But certainly the Zapruder film, it happened before I was born. I wasn't even alive then. And yet historically, to me, that's like the first instance we've had of video impacting how America sees a crime being committed. I'm sure there are others, but I mean, that was obviously the biggest for the time. And then right on the anniversary of that, we have Rittenhouse on one side and we have the Aubrey case on the other side. And I'm just concerned that, like you guys have already said, that if if jurors now have watched CSI and Law and Order for all of the mountains of DNA evidence, now we're going to have this expectation of video. And frankly, in most cases, there isn't video. And yet, will that lead juries to discount evidence if it's not in high-definition 4K video?
Yeah, the thing I would add – oh, I'm sorry, Mark.
No, go ahead.
The thing I would add on video is remember that when you're looking at video evidence, it's from the perspective of the camera. It's not from the perspective of the officer or of the store surveillance. It's from the perspective of the camera. So when you look at that, you have to have a little bit of knowledge of context. So this is an officer staring at a gun being fired off to his right with his peripheral vision that the camera may not pick up. So you can't just take video evidence and say this is fact and this is how this had to happen. So look at, you talked about the Zapruder film down in Dallas. In that particular case, look at all the conspiracy theories that still abound because of that video. Even though we all looked at the same video, but there's all these different explanations as to what happened. So just keep that in mind, and juries need to keep that in mind as well.
Right. What I was going to say is I think what can help us in situations like this is the importance of jury instructions. And in the Ahmaud Arbery case, you saw a textbook of a judge reading agreed-upon jury instructions. In Missouri, we have the MAI, Missouri-approved instructions. And those instructions are read to a jury. And those instructions will tell a jury that circumstantial evidence, video evidence, written evidence, it all carries the weight that the jury chooses to assign to it based upon what they've seen in court. And I think juries take those instructions very seriously. And I would hope in taking those instructions seriously that if there's no video evidence, they're not going to get back in that room and say, well, there's no video evidence. That they're going to look at the facts that they've been presented, read the instructions, and then try to come to a conclusion. I think that's what they did in both cases. Although one of the things in the Wisconsin case, the judge did those instructions off the cuff, didn't read them, and I nearly fell out of my seat because I thought, wow. You know, in a civil case, you're just waiting for a reversal if that happens.
I thought you were going to say you were upset because his telephone rang with "Proud to be an American." I thought that was going to be the. But you mentioned the Wisconsin case, and obviously that leads us into the Waukesha situation where Daryl Brooks. Killed, I think it's up to 6 now, and there are at least 47, I think, who are still injured. In that situation, though, the we can all agree that that's a heinous crime. But what I want to look at is, Mark, is this also an indictment on this movement that we've seen recently about eliminating cash bails? Because this guy had run over someone with his car and had a history of serious crime. And he was released on a $1,000 bail 2 days before this incident happened. Is this an indictment on this movement, which is endorsed by the City of St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, about eliminating cash bail or making cash bail ridiculously low? Is this an indictment on that?
I think when you eliminate cash bail, you create a whole host of problems. I think that you ought to have cash bail. Can it be tailored a little better than we've done it in the past for violent, nonviolent offenders, perhaps. But I think cash bail is important because I think it helps protect the community. So I'm not in favor of eliminating it. I think you see in St. Louis County, they've not eliminated it. There are a lot of reasons to have cash bail, and Waukesha is one.
And I would just add, in St. Louis County, Wesley Bell campaigned on eliminating cash bail. But he didn't do it.
Right.
He didn't do it. I mean, he moderated significantly after he got elected.
Right.
And he has not done it. And I have to tell you, some of the bails that I see in St. Louis County are quite high in these cases. Now, in the Wisconsin case in Waukesha, that $1,000 bail that he was out on, do you know what he did while he was out on that bail?
What did he do?
He tried to run over his wife.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a very similar type of crime that committed. Just in that case, it was one victim. And in the next recent case, it was more than 60, the last I heard, victims with six fatalities. So Kim Gardner's absolutely wrong, and I think it's time has shown us that she's wrong. And I congratulate Wesley Bell for not sticking to that campaign promise.
I do too, and that shows he got into office and realized that may be a great campaign issue, but it's not practically it's not a good idea. What I think is also fascinating is I think his name is John Chisholm, who's the prosecuting attorney in Waukesha. When he was running for office in 2007, he ran on eliminating cash bail. And I listened to the audio clip. I was going to bring it in today, and I forgot it. But he actually said on a campaign stop that he was asked during an interview about whether eliminating cash bail could result in people being harmed. And he said, oh, it will absolutely happen. If we eliminate cash bail, people will be harmed as a result of it. And so it was a very prophetic statement by him that he admits this is going to happen, and that it took several years, but now he's facing a horrendous crisis because of this happening on his watch. And I just hope that the Kim Gardners of the country realize that cash bail is essential, and elimination of cash bail is bad policy. And that kind of leads into the next topic, which is we've seen this a lot of smash and grabs lately. In fact, it's gone from it may be behind me on the TV screen. I wasn't sure. But particularly in California, these organized smash and grab robbery situations. And I guess my question, Mark, I'm going to throw it to you first. What do you see as the cause of this? Is there anything that politically or from a policy perspective leads to these types of activities? And what can we do to reduce it?
Sure. I mean, first, what we've seen with the internet is that you can organize a smash and grab or an insurrection.
When was there an insurrection?
January 6th.
There was a riot on January 6th. I'm not aware of any insurrection. I don't think you can take over the country when you're only armed with a dude wearing Viking helmet.
Well, unfortunately, you can overtake a country and overturn an election result by trying to hang the vice president and keep electoral votes from being counted. But my point is, you can, when you have lawlessness on both sides, when you have lawlessness on the far right or the far left, when people say, I don't need to follow that rule because I don't like it anymore, then you're going to have an increase in everything from, you know, riots over wearing a mask to somebody invading, you know, Louis Vuitton. And that's unfortunate. What we need to get back to as a civil society is to say that we create laws and rules so that we can live and work with one another. And when that goes out the window, then you're going to see smash and grabs, insurrections at the Capitol, and a lot of things in between that are harmful to a civil society. And unfortunately, I think that's where we've gotten to.
But Chief, when you look at California, though, you've got a situation where the state has changed the laws where misdemeanor, you now have to have like $1,000 before you ever get charged with a misdemeanor for those types of things. You've got, again, the cash bail where we're going to eliminate cash bail. If you're looking at it from a crime perspective, we even saw that right here in St. Louis during the George Floyd riots, and those were riots. Where people were looting stores in St. Louis, and the police did absolutely nothing about it in the city of St. Louis. With that type of an environment, what's to stop smash and grab operations?
That's right. And the police are like, well, if I'm going to arrest them and put myself at risk and my family at risk, why should I if they're not going to prosecute them? I spent 3 weeks in California in September and October, 2 weeks in San Francisco and one in L.A. I got to see it firsthand. Mm. San Francisco is a mess. No prosecution unless you steal more than $1,000. So guess what's happening in downtown San Francisco? They've already closed 5 CVS stores. They have security at every one of them, and security's told not to do anything, just be a presence. Ugh. They've locked up all of the toiletries, all of the like bags of beef jerky, all of the drinks.
Beef jerky.
Everything is locked up. You have to ask for a key to go get any of that stuff out of there. that's where we've gone. That pendulum has swung completely too far to the left, and it's finally starting to come back.
I hope so, because, Mark, like you said, if people are going to just have this attitude of lawlessness, this is the result. But is that the result of liberal policies?
No, I don't think that lawlessness is the result of liberal policies. The point that I would make to you is this. I've sat down with some folks who I consider law and order, conservative folk, and what I find is that they're very harsh towards those who do smash and grabs, and we should be. Those people should be arrested. They should be charged. They should be fined or jailed. We cannot allow that to occur. On the other hand, for example, you have an attorney general in the state of Missouri who sues to overturn election results in four states. And we don't acknowledge anymore that that's against law and order. It's against the very concept of order in a democracy to overturn those results. An attorney general that sues China when there's no rules that allow you to do that is a violation of law and order. Simply what I'm saying is what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Those at the very top of the food chain who for months have eroded our institutions bear the brunt of the responsibility when we see an erosion of order in the streets. We see that in county council meetings, school board meetings, election officials being threatened. It's an erosion of our sense of community, and there are a lot of people at the top that bear responsibility who should bear some punishment as well. My response.
All right. Well, we're coming up here on a break. When we come back, speaking of law and order issues, the so-called previously known as Dr. Faisal Khan, or as I just like to refer to him as Mr. Faisal Khan, has some comments on folks who show up at county council meetings. We'll get into that in just a minute. Reardonless Roundtable with Brad Young, Mark Moreland, and County Councilman Tim Fitch. We'll be back right after this on 97.1 FM Talk.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back. You know, I've never had an intro where someone said, "Back up, you creep." They were not talking to me. I assure you that was not being directed to me. That was our own Hillary Clinton. Anyway, Brad Young back in the saddle with you this afternoon on the Reardonless Roundtable. And you may have heard that Mayor Tashara Jones is kind of responding. You mentioned Eric Schmidt, Mark, a few minutes ago. She is, Tashara Jones is responding to Eric Schmidt's proposal to forgive a multi-million-dollar debt. I think it was a little over $5 million, as long as the money is spent on police. And he says that this money should go to hiring more 911 dispatchers and improving the mental and physical health of the city's first responders. This was Tashara Jones's response at a press conference yesterday with regard to this proposal.
It was a political stunt, like most things coming out of the Attorney General's office these days. While we've been working to improve public safety in this office, bringing down our homicide rate by more than 25% this year, and trying to prevent the spread of COVID-19, the Attorney General has spent his time chasing clout and a Senate seat. But my administration is always willing to work with anyone to help improve the lives of residents in our city. We're always looking for more resources to help support our first responders. But if we truly want to make St. Louis a safer place, we need to take a broader, more holistic view at public safety.
A more holistic view, and that clip cut off right there at the end. Chief Fitch, what do you think about Mayor Jones's position that, well, we shouldn't just be looking at traditional types of policing, but we should really be looking at spending this money on a holistic approach to policing?
Doesn't surprise me at all. She might have just said, I'm still interested in defunding the police. That's really what she meant. I saw her comments in the media, and there's no doubt about that. And interestingly enough, if you want to know what the police think of her in the fire department, you should have been at Guns and Hoses Wednesday night when they introduced her. I have never heard a louder boo in my life.
And really?
She was clearly caught off guard. I give her credit for even showing up thinking that that wasn't going to happen. At least Sam Page had the common sense to stay away.
It was almost a let's go Brandon moment,
yeah,
I'm seeing.
Well, that was chanted too. So at any rate, it doesn't surprise me that she wants it to go in a different direction.
So Mark, what's the downside of just saying yes? If we're going to get $5 extra million to the city of St. Louis, why not just say yes? Why bickering and trying to negotiate on how the money is spent? Why not just say yes if it's free money?
Sure. So, look, we all know that the Attorney General is trying to make a political stunt out of this. He's got a six-way primary. He gets himself on the news. Again,
but it's still a $5 million gift.
Let me finish, right? The Attorney General has not been a law and order Attorney General, as I said earlier today, suing to overturn elections, suing China, suing over mask mandates. That's not his role or his function. Neither is it his role or function to necessarily direct how the city spends its money. That said, if you're going to take a $5 million deal, maybe you take a $5 million deal. You're going to take it. You're going to spend money to fix your 911 problem anyway. Go ahead and take that deal and maybe have a kumbaya moment with the guy that you can then spend the rest of your time obliterating. But I understand the angst of being dictated to. The city is dictated to all too much by the state of Missouri, and I understand the angst.
Well, in one way that the city is not being dictated to by the state of Missouri, last time I checked, marijuana was still illegal in the state of Missouri, and yet the city is moving to decriminalize marijuana. Chief Fitch, is this a good idea or a bad idea?
I could argue both sides of this, by the way. I sponsored legislation in the county to reduce the amount of fine for small amounts of marijuana. I'm not talking about amounts of marijuana that would choke Willie Nelson. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about small.
That would be a lot.
Yes, it would. Yeah. So what we did in the county with my bill was we took away the jail time because you could have up to a year in jail for those small amounts. And by the way, if you'd go over to Clayton to the county jail and say how many people are in here for small amounts of marijuana, the number would be zero. And we also reduced the fine. So it was up to $1,000, and now it's up to $100. So we didn't decriminalize it like the city. The city wants to make it perfectly legal for personal use. That is still against Missouri state law and still against federal law. So I'm not sure how the city can completely decriminalize it.
Mark, how do you see this? I mean, is this something that we should be adopting on a nationwide scale? And I know we see a lot of states moving in that direction. I know in the U.S. Senate, Chuck Schumer has sponsored a bill to decriminalize marijuana on a federal level. Is this a move in the right direction from your perspective?
I favor the decriminalization of marijuana simply because we have enough other things that police and prosecutors ought to be attending to without attending to people with small amounts of marijuana. If the city does it by ordinance, that's fine by me, keeping in mind that, you know, you still have state and federal law that people will have to be cognizant of when they make their own personal choices about whether they use it or not.
Well, if they're enforcing those laws now in the city, I'd be shocked because I don't see any other laws being enforced. Certainly not traffic laws. If you drive,
I agree.
If you drive down Market, I mean, you need to be driving, you know, in a tank. because nobody stops at stoplights. Yeah. And so if those laws aren't being enforced, I just don't see how many people are being busted for having a couple of joints in their pocket. I just don't see that happening in the city right now anyway.
Yeah, I think it's for political purposes is why they're talking about doing this now. And if it just relieves a state law, you know, that says no marijuana possession, it's not going to be prosecuted by Kim Gardner anyway.
No, it's not. But when we're on this issue of enforcement of laws, a Missouri judge ruled, Judge Green, I believe, in Cole County ruled this week that county health directors cannot make mandates pursuant to the code of state regulations. And it's statewide. And since the state was a defendant in that case, Eric Schmidt has said he's not going to appeal that decision. So that's a non-appealable court decision that states that city and county health departments cannot use state regulations to create new mandates and enforce those mandates, whether it's on businesses or individuals. Mark, does this apply to St. Louis County? And what's your agree? If you read that decision, I know I did. I think that the judge's reasoning was well-founded because if you vest both the legislative and the executive power into one entity, that by definition is unconstitutional. Your thoughts on the decision?
Well, So first I will say this. The politicization of the pandemic has cost us in this country 100,000, 200,000 lives. It is the shame is that we're arguing about what public health officials can and can't do in an effort to keep all of us safe and all of the people that we love and care about safe. That said, you know, I have not read the opinion. I'm going to assume Judge Green is correct. What I would hope is that officials in counties get together and say, if the CDC says these are the things that we need to do to keep safe, that we all go ahead and do that, that it's not a political issue to keep our loved ones safe and to keep us all safe. That's my hope.
Chief, we've only got about a minute left here in the show, or at least in this hour for this segment, but your thoughts on this decision and how do you see St. Louis County either abiding or not abiding by the dictates of that decision?
Well, St. Louis County, we've warned all along. I started complaining about this back in July of 2020 when the county executive starts saying, here's our new health mandates. I made it very clear. The ordinances and charter of the county say that only the legislative body can issue these mandates upon recommendation from the Department of Public Health. He ignored that, and that's exactly what this judge said is, guess what, Sam Page, you and your health director cannot do this on your own. We should have been part of that discussion back then, and we were not. So right now that means in St. Louis County there are no mandates. And I actually believe there haven't been any for a while, but this really put the final nail in the coffin.
Well, it did, because even if you think that a mandate does exist, which it doesn't, if you look at the actual health order, it specifically states in the health order that it's not intended to restrict access to any business, any place of worship, or any private residence. So I really struggle when I hear about this mandate because I just don't see a mandate in place. Hey, we're coming up at the end of the show here. You got another minute here. That's
Can
great.
I add something?
Absolutely. We got an extra minute.
Just so the public knows, the county has wiped out all of the health mandate orders on our website as of Thanksgiving. They quietly went in, deleted them all. Now they're called guidelines. They're no longer mandates. So I think the county counselor's office has instructed Sam Page, get those off the website or we're violating the judge's order. So if anybody was left with any doubt whatsoever whether or not there's a mandate in St. Louis County specifically for masks, there's not. It's been removed from the county's website.
So now that is a suggestion. It's now a powerfully worded
and
suggestion.
By the way, I have no problem with if people want to wear masks, please do.
Please do. Hey, and I want to say thank you to both of you gentlemen. You've given me and giving us your Thanksgiving holiday. Mark Moreland, thank you very much for joining us today. Chief Fitch, it's always a pleasure to see you, my friend.
Thank you for the invitation, Brad.
Hope to see you soon. Hey, we're going to have a lot more coming up after this break on the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.